Plant growth regulators have several benefits, namely the ability to reduce the growth of turfgrass and also the ability to increase turfgrass color. But there are a few problems with PGRs. And for the past 2 years at Auburn University, we've been trying to answer one of these problems. And that is, how often should Schnickspack ethyl be reapplied to ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass putting greens? And based on our understanding of previous research, we thought this question could best be answered by developing a growing degree day model. And so that is what we set out to do. Now, some of you may be wondering, why are you trying to combine PGRs and growing degree days, a measurement of heat accumulation? Well, in 2002, Fagernes determined that Schnickspack ethyl, or as I refer to it, TE, efficacy decreased as temperatures increased. Now, this was better understood in 2005 when Beasley and Branham indicated that the half-life of Schnickspack acid, which is the plant active form of TE, the half-life is around 6 days at 18 degrees Celsius, but the half-life is only 3 days, around 3 days, at 30 degrees Celsius. And then in 2011, taking this relationship between half-life and temperature into consideration, Kreuzer and Soldat published a growing degree day model for making TE applications to creeping bentgrass putting greens. And this model was able to ensure that suppression was maintained throughout the entire year, regardless of the temperature. And so, once again, the question that we are trying to answer is, can a growing degree day model like this be developed for ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass putting greens? I know at this point in time, some of you may think, well, aren't these greens grown, you know, in areas where temperatures don't fluctuate that much? And so won't a day-based model work as well? And to that I will respond, I am not saying that a day-based model cannot work. I'm saying the purpose of our research is to determine if a growing degree day-based model can work better. Because there are some times during the year where we do have temperatures that fluctuate slightly, so the beginning of the season, the end of the season. And so if a growing degree day model can save us just one or two applications per year, I believe we have a reason to research this further, because I think we have an obligation to make the least number of applications possible to reduce our impact on the environment and also to continue to have those benefits of those PGRs. So how do we go about answering this question? Well, we had two objectives and two trials. The first objective was to determine how much time it would take to reach the maximum suppression point following a single TE application. And we also wanted to know if it would take a longer time at different periods throughout the season. And so for that, we had our timing trial. Now, I'm not going to talk much about this trial in this presentation, but I hope you will come see my poster this evening after this session, poster number 519. Now, the main thing I want us to focus on today is our growing degree day interval trial. And in this trial, we were simply testing different growing degree day reapplication intervals to see if they would be able to maintain suppression throughout the entire season. So a few things first about materials and methods. A USGA Mini Verde Bermuda Grass putting green at the Sports Surface Field Laboratory in Auburn, Alabama. And most important thing I think to note is that we did calculate our growing degree days in Celsius with a base temperature of zero. As far as data collection, we collected clippings 3 days per week, beginning the first week of May to the last week of August of both 2016 and 2017. And after collecting clippings, we would allow them to dry at 60 degrees Celsius for at least 48 hours before weighing. Then we also took weekly visual ratings and NDVI readings. Now, as far as data analysis, a significant year effect was not detected for the timing trial. So data was pooled over both years for that, and the regression that you will see on a few slides was applied using SigmaPlot 13. Now, a significant year effect was detected for the growing degree day interval trial. So for brevity in this presentation, I will only be presenting results from 2017. However, I will tell you that from a practical standpoint, the information that we learned was the same for both years. So I do want to begin here just very quickly with a few slides from the timing trial, because I think this will help you better understand our results in the growing degree day interval trial. So here on this graph, as you can see, we have on the y-axis relative clipping yield difference. So at around at negative 0.75, that would be like 75% less clippings than the non-treated. And then on the x-axis, you can see we have days after treatment. And then on the graph, you can see that light blue line is the regression ran on all the data. And then the dark blue line, that is our May 1st application. So on May the 1st, we made a single TE application to a previously untreated plot and just watched the suppression curve over time. And then also the same thing for the July 1st treatment. So I want you to notice only two things about this graph, both having to do with where the maximum suppression point occurs for these 2 days. So notice first that the magnitude or the percentage suppression at those two maximum suppression points is relatively similar, around 60% less than the non-treated. However, And this is most important. Notice that the number of days that it took to reach that point was 14 days for the May 1st application, but was only around 10 days for the July 1st application. So obviously there was a difference here throughout the year. And so what we're trying to see is, can a growing degree day model bring these two maximum suppression points together so that we can more accurately predict when we need to reapply? So now I'm going to put growing degree days on the x-axis, and I hope the first thing you will notice is that now both of those maximum suppression points occur right around that same point. And the regression that we ran on all of our data from both years indicated a local minimum there, or the maximum suppression point, at around 275 growing degree days. So at this point, before we move to the growing degree day interval trial, I think you may have two questions. And the first is, well, if you know anything about other research with TE on other turf grasses, wow, these results are really different from what others have seen, such as on creeping bent grass here with Dr. Koizer's regression he ran, creeping bent grass, putting greens, at about the same rate as us. So yes, there's a difference, and if you're interested in this, this is the topic, one of the topics of my timing poster, so please come see that again this evening. And then secondly, I think you might be wondering, why are you so interested in the maximum suppression point? And that is because we theorize that if you make an application before that maximum suppression point occurs, so where that orange dot is, before 275 there, then you will be able to maintain a constant magnitude, as a constant percentage, of suppression throughout the entire season. And that will translate into consistent turf grass growth from day to day. And that's what we want to be able to provide turf grass managers with. So let's take this information and now go to our growing degree day interval trial. So we had 8 different treatments. We had 4 different GDD intervals, every 100, 200, 400, and 600, and then 2 rates. Now, our hypothesis going into this was that a proper GDD reapplication, that is one that occurs before that maximum suppression point, like 275, will provide constant suppression magnitude. And then we also thought that all TE treatments will provide at least acceptable visual ratings. So let's begin here with what did not work, and we would theorize this based on our timing trial that these two treatments would not work. So here, once again, on the y-axis, we have the relative clipping yield difference, and on the x-axis, we have the date beginning in May, where we made the first application, until the first week of August. And then you should note here also that the arrows indicate where an application, at the bottom there, indicate where an application was made. So here on the graph, we have the 400 GDD interval at the high rate, and the 600 GDD interval at the high rate. Now notice that while it is the case that both of these treatments did maintain suppression, or almost maintain suppression, throughout the entire season, they did not maintain a constant magnitude of suppression. So therefore, daily clippings will be fluctuating from day to day. And so the purpose of our trial was to see if we could keep those clippings very similar from day to day. So let's look now at what did work, and we would think that this would work once again based on our timing trial. So here we have the 200 growing degree day interval at both the low rate and the high rate. And I think one thing you'll notice first is that the low rate is only different because it has slightly less magnitude of suppression compared to the high rate. But notice that both, for the most part, maintain a very constant magnitude of suppression throughout the entire season. And that is what we were going for. Now, I also should say at this point that the 100 growing degree day interval also provided a very similar magnitude of suppression throughout the entire year. However, remember, the purpose of our research is to try to make the least number of applications possible. And so 100 is just too often. Now, to add to that, I should say that, yes, future research should continue to push this 200 GDD reapplication interval closer and closer to that 275-ish point. But for what we understand now, at least a 200 GDD interval will work. And we have to also remember that it does take some time for TE to get into the plant and to be metabolized into the plant actiform trinxpac acid. So 200 allows time for that. So as far as our color data goes for the two treatments we determined to work, you will notice that we did see some phytotoxicity here at the beginning of the season, both for the low rate and the high rate. However, the low rate never dropped below what I consider to be acceptable turf grass. However, the high rate did for at least 2 rating dates. But you'll notice after that 21-day period where we did see some phytotoxicity, both of these treatments maintained a color rating higher than the non-treated for the rest of the year. They looked very good, in fact. So here we have a picture of around 21 days after treatment while there was still some phytotoxicity going on, and maybe you can see there is a control. And then here we have the low rate, so some slight bronzing, but not too much. And then the high rate, slightly more phytotoxicity there. But then notice this. Notice that by the time we get to the end of the season, almost all the treatments, or all the treatments actually, did have equal or better color ratings than the non-treated. And then for NDVI, we noticed something similar with lower readings than the non-treated from around 7 days after treatment to around 21 days after treatment. And after that point, there were consistently higher readings than the non-treated for the rest of the season. And you can notice that one dip there in between the middle of June. That's when we had a tropical storm come through and there were overcast skies for around 3 days. So conclusions from the growing degree day interval trial. The 100 and the 200 growing degree day intervals at both rates did maintain that constant magnitude of suppression we were looking for. However, 100 is just too often and unnecessary. And then as far as our color ratings go, after that 21-day period, all treatments provided at least equal to or greater than color ratings than the non-treated, and they also all provided at least equal to or higher than NDVI readings than the non-treated. So overall summary, we conclude that the number of days after treatment to the maximum suppression point does change throughout the year, but the number of growing degree days remains very constant. And so based on this information, we also were able to conclude from our growing degree day interval trial that a 200 growing degree day interval was able to maintain a constant magnitude of suppression. But of course, future research should push this closer and closer to around that 275 mark. And then after that initial phytotoxicity subsided, all treatments were able to provide at least acceptable turf grass quality. So I'd also like to acknowledge Dr. McElroy, thank him for his help, and Jim Harris, and a few other Auburn students, and if there are any questions, I can answer them now.
How would you account for shade?
Account for shade? Well,
shade like cloud cover. Extended cloud cover like in Florida for the summer.
Well, I can't say we did any work with shade, but I would say we would have to have some type of study that included that as well. I do know that there are differences for sure in shrink spike efficacy in shaded areas, so I'm not sure I can answer your exact question based on our research, but it would be good for future research.
Do you think there's any concern over the magnitude of suppression of greens in play versus research?
Yeah, I would say that the 100 growing degree day interval at the high rate, I mean, that grass was not growing very much, and so if there's any injury that occurs, perhaps that could, you know, cause problems in the long run. Does that answer your question?
That's it.
So the question is, the base temperature being 0 degrees Celsius,
do you think it's an appropriate base temperature on the solar
system? Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, I could see changing it maybe to a 10 degrees Celsius base temperature, but I think we'd have to have future research for that. You know, temperatures, I mean, October, it's still, you know, hot in Auburn, so I can't answer that question for every year, but you might be right, yeah.
One more question? One?
Have you considered looking at the correlation between reduced clippings and fall speed? Golf courses typically apply to fall speed, not clipping reduction screens.
Right. Yeah, so the question was, what about ball speed as opposed just to clipping reduction? And no, we have not looked at anything about ball speed. However, I will say that those high rates on the 200 and the 100 were extremely, extremely slick, you might say. Yeah.
All right, let's thank our speaker.